Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Junkies. Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle, two-man show all week. We're going to have D. Hall here in the next segment, and then we're going to get into more of your calls and get your reaction on yesterday and the future of this team. What decisions do you think have to be made? What do you think will be? What decisions do you think will be made? And then, of course, we'll talk to Craig Hoffman in the 9 o'clock hour. But let's get into the sports page.
A lot happening.
It's time for the sports page, which we rarely get to on a Monday. But you're right; there was a bunch of stuff that happened over the weekend. We'll start with the Heisman Trophy. Kyler Murray wins it for Oklahoma, becoming the the fourth Oklahoma quarterback to win. You had Baker last year, you had Sam Bradford a few years ago, and then Jason White. So I think that you have four Oklahoma quarterbacks who have won the Heisman, seven overall going to Oklahoma Sooners. And, you know, conventional wisdom was that Tua was probably the leader for most of the year, but he had that bad SEC championship game. And I don't know, what sound effect are you trying to play?
He's looking for the teletype. It's Bank 2, number 11.
It's all right. We don't need it. We don't need it now. I think that's fun. That's what you need to play when we talk skins, not when we talk Kyler Murray. But conventional wisdom was that it was Tua's award to lose, and then he had that bad SEC championship game. Murray had the great Big 12 championship game, and he put up crazy stats. But remember, Tua was not even playing in the fourth quarter, and his stats certainly would have trumped Kyler's if he was playing full games. But I don't have a problem giving it to Kyler Murray.
What a freak athlete.
I know.
What a
unbelievable
future. And let me say how bogus I think it is. It's terrible that he had those tweets, but it's so bogus that people wait for these moments to then unleash them.
Yeah.
Youthful indiscretion, said something stupid. I'm sure he didn't mean it. I'm not excusing it, but when people do this, I mean, you're just like, if you're part of that, you're just one of the worst people in the country.
Hey, Drabby or Valdez, did the Ravens do about the fullback who sent out those tweets?
Patrick Ricard or yeah, Richard yeah. or whatever.
Were they old tweets also?
Yeah, he was. He was 16 when he sent that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So apparently he was it Jameson Hensley, the Suns beat reporter,
right?
Said like he hasn't talked to his teammates about it yet.
Okay, but he's still on the team.
Have him apologize and let's just move on. There's something he said like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have him apologize.
He issued an apology.
Yeah. We got to get over it.
He said he was sorry and that he's grown from it or he's matured and he shouldn't be held against it since he did it so long ago, but he doesn't condone it. And then how he's changed from 16 to
He's obviously a different person now.
If you haven't said anything stupid when you're 15 or 16 or 13 or whatever, then I guess maybe you could say something.
Well, we say things.
We all say stupid
like this.
Things.
We're 48, 49. We say stupid things.
Of course.
Kyler Murray, by the way, 4,053 passing yards, 40 touchdowns, 7 picks. Did lead the country in passer rating with almost 206 rating.
How tall is he?
5'9"-ish.
Wow. They're saying if he didn't have the baseball thing, he'd be a top 10 pick.
I know.
Crazy.
Spectacular athlete.
Crazy. Still going to get selected by somebody somewhere.
Someone will, but it's just a risk. You don't want to draft him in the first round.
No, I'll take him in fourth or fifth round. Yeah. And then maybe if he fails in baseball, you got it something in 2 years.
By the way, just kind of a gambling story here quickly. If you watched any college basketball over the weekend, Seton Hall beat Kentucky. Okay. And I went over 141 total points in that game. All right. I was dead. All right, first half wasn't a lot of scoring. Second half, it was 70-67 with, 3-4 seconds left. Kentucky had to go the length of the court. Pass goes to, I think it was Johnson at half court. Hits the half quarter to send it in overtime, tied at 70.
Hooked you.
So I always talk about all the bad beats that I've had over the years.
There you go.
And
hooked.
I've had plenty of them. But the gambling gods were looking out for me in the Seton Hall-Kentucky game. Maryland got a win over the weekend, beat Loyola Chicago.
Their big win is the men's soccer team, though.
Men's soccer team did beat Akron to win their fourth national championship in soccer.
Third under Sasha in his 26 years since he's been there. Unbelievable.
I read that the Terps Hoops game when they beat Loyola Chicago, it was at Baltimore Arena or Royal Farms, mm-hmm. or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
There was only like 3,600 people there.
Ugh. Crazy.
3,600. That's ridiculous.
Not a lot of Terps fans up there in B-more.
I guess not.
I'm surprised by that. Maybe they just didn't even know where. Maybe a bunch of people just went down to College Park thinking the game was there.
I think the only way that you could get tickets to that is you had to buy like a season ticket package.
Mm-hmm.
And then there weren't that many on the secondary market because of that. Mm. And so it just didn't sell well.
Could be.
Now, it was an ugly game, but they got the win. So you'll take the win. All right, a couple baseball stories. First of all, you know, this Veterans Committee for the Hall of Fame has turned into four separate committees. One of them is called the Today's Game Committee, which focuses on players from 1988 to the present. They voted in Harold Baines from St. Michael's, Maryland.
Which is great to see.
And Harold used to play golf. He might still play golf with my Uncle Jack, Jack Bishop down there in Oxford. But the Veterans Committee, this version of the Veterans Committee, voted Harold Baines in as well as Lee Smith. Harold Baines never got more than 6% of the votes.
That's what's crazy.
When he was on the ballot.
I mean, he had a great career. He's just finished just short of 400 home runs, just short of 3,000 hits, and he played 22 years. But to never get more than 6% in five times he was eligible,
mm-hmm.
to then get nominated, boom, right off the bat by the Veterans Committee, it's kind of crazy.
Good for him.
But God bless him.
Good for him. And Lee Smith gets in. Lee Smith never got more than 51% when he was on the ballot. But both of them get in.
Lou Piniella fell one vote short.
Yep.
Lou probably should get in as a combo manager / player.
The guys on the Today's Game committee are Robbie Alomar, Burt Blyleven, Pat Gillick, Tony La Russa.
So they're not like old writers anything.
No. They're former players, former managers.
Why do they put Baines in? I don't understand.
Just life. If you look at the numbers, lifetime.
Yeah, but he's like a five-time All-Star in 22 years.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, well, that's why he never got more than 6% according to the writers.
Just because the numbers at the end of the day, they are kind of staggering.
Yeah,
he just kind of plugged along, though.
Almost 2,900 hits.
He was always very good, but he was in an era of amazing first baseman. Like, amazing.
Well, he was outfielder.
I remember,
but also amazing outfielder.
I thought he was a DH.
Yeah, he had hurting knees.
Yeah, but you know what? These guys, Ozzie Smith felt bad for him.
Let me see.
They hooked him.
That's what happened. They felt bad for him.
Yeah,
I think a little, but he just
Lifetime achievement award.
He was an accumulator
kind of
guy.
That way. And Lee Smith was certainly one of the greatest closers, but it's just hard to put closers in. But Joe Morgan was on that committee. Ozzie Smith, Joe Torre, so. They get in. All right, so Mark Lerner, the son of Ted Lerner, had some comments about Bryce Harper over the weekend and the possibility of Bryce Harper re-signing. Of course, Bryce Harper.
Yeah, he really never played first. He mostly played outfield and DH.
Yeah, he was a right fielder.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper still hasn't signed anywhere. That $300 million offer is probably off the table, considering that Corbin signed for $140. Who knows? But Mark Lerner did have some comments. I believe he did. He did an interview on the station, didn't he?
Yeah, with Grant and Danny.
With Grant and Danny. All right. Yep. So, do you have any of that?
Well, when we met with them and we gave them the offer, we told them this is the best we can do. We went right to the finish line very quickly, and we said if this is of interest to you, please come back to us. We'll see whether we can finish it up. But we just couldn't afford to put more than that in and still be able to put a team together that had a chance to win the NL East or go farther than that. So, you know, if they choose to go to some other place, I totally understand. It's an opportunity of a lifetime for Bryce and Kayla and their family. But we have no hard feelings about it. I must say, I love Bryce, and he was a good teammate here. If he chooses to go someplace else, totally understand it.
Hmm. Well, he took that really well. I mean,
mm-hmm.
really, really well. No hard feelings. They gave him their best offer. He completely understands. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Wow, you can't handle it any better than that. You got to tip your cap to Mark Lerner.
And if that didn't convince you that Bryce is not going to come back, maybe this clip will.
It's a strong possibility that we won't be able to make it work. But I really don't expect them to come back at this point. I think they've decided to move on. And there's just too much money out there that you'd be leaving on the table. And that's just not Mr. Boris's, you know, M.O. to leave
you
money on the table.
You know him a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, we couldn't be fonder of the two of them and Kayla and Bryce. And like I said, they're like family. I mean, they've been with us. First time we met them, he was 16 years old. So
think about that. It's crazy,
it's,
right?
It's hard to see somebody like that go. But unfortunately, it's a strong possibility that's going to happen.
Hmm. All right. So
there goes
to Mark
the Bob. Was it the Nightingale report from just like 2 weeks ago, where he still thought at the end of the day that the or if it wasn't Nightingale, it was the other guy, Heyman, John Heyman.
One of those guys
that said he thought the Nats were the favorite, and that was kind of what the intelligent people inside the business thought.
Right.
Well, there goes that theory.
Yeah, all the anonymous execs around the league.
Yeah.
What do they know? Who knows?
Nobody knows anything.
You just can't predict the future, so maybe he'll stay, but I think it's about a 1% chance. Quickly, with the Wizards and Caps, the Wizards lost to the Cavs over the weekend. John Wall has a bone spur in his heel. And said that he should not have been playing. He had did he finish with 1 point in that game?
Yeah.
One.
Yep, he had one free throw. I think he was 0 for whatever from the field.
And he said he shouldn't have been playing. It was on him, but he went
he
out there.
He did play 26 minutes.
Correct. But again, he's got another injury. Now, who knows how that affects him going forward. But
says he's had it for a while, and it really flared up. So something to keep an eye out for. It just kind of stinks because they had previously just won three in a row. This is sort of how the Wizards are. You know,
right.
They play well in fits and spurts and have these exasperating losses throughout a season.
Right. And then you beat a team who was 5-20 at the time and you lose. But that's just what the Wiz do. Play the Pacers tonight, by the way, at Indiana. And the Caps still rolling.
Hope you had a shutout, right?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are incredible. They are now 17-9-3, 37 points, three clear of Columbus in the Metro, who they just beat, just shut out. So they've won 8 of 10, I think like 10 of the last 14 or 10 of the last 13, something like that. They're just on fire, playing really well. And Ovi had another goal in that game, I think number 22.
You know, we can't talk about the Caps without thinking about our rings. And we didn't get our rings on Friday for our holiday show. And so all I can think is they're probably not going to give us rings for another month now because it's just two of us in here
until,
for the next month.
Yeah.
I mean,
until January 10th.
It wouldn't be fun to give it to two of you guys. So we'll probably
fun. It'd be fun for me if I'm here.
So we'll probably postpone it until all four of you guys are in. So earliest would be early
January. I'm starting to lose faith. Yeah, I'll be honest. Losing faith.
Yeah, I think January 10th is the first show back with all
we'll
four of us.
We'll be the greatest okey-doke in history.
Will you be bitter if comes when JP and Cakes are doing a show?
I'll drive in to get mine. I don't need it to be presented to me.
I just
would like to.
I think it'd be better radio if it was presented and everything.
Yeah. But
I had a whole hoopla in studio.
If it so happened that they came in, you know, without me being here, I would drive in to get it. I would fly in from Jupiter, Florida, where I will be for part of my vacation.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody thought you were going to be on Jupiter.
No.
I will not drive in. I'll wait until January.
You drive in for a paycheck, but you wouldn't drive in for your championship ring?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
You and I are different.
But, Drabby, you're probably right. It's probably going to be that week that we're all back.
Oh, well, I don't know why it would be that week.
Well, it seems like logistically it makes more sense.
What
are they going to do, come back twice and come back the second
time? Saying you're assuming it will be that week. It might not be till March, June, or never. I'm thinking never.
They didn't lie. They didn't lie.
I think everyone has gotten their ring.
Everyone except
like
the judge.
Even like the beer lady.
Were the
all
last
the,
ones?
Oh, everybody. All the guys. Trotsky.
Maybe they ran
Beagle,
out of them.
Everybody on other teams.
Maybe they ran out of them and they had to order some more.
I think they ran out.
Take another month.
And they didn't bother to order more. I think we're done.
All right, so when we come back, as we do every Monday, we're going to talk to former Redskin D'Angelo Hall, and we'll talk about his thoughts on what happened yesterday in the 40-16 debacle over there at FedEx. And we'll take calls in the 840 segment because I know a lot more people have more thoughts on that It was just a complete embarrassment. It's such a mess over there. Anyway, D-Hall next. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Clear the streets out. Come on with it. Star Trek.
All right, every Monday around 8:20, we talk to number 23, D'Angelo Hall. He's driven by your D.C. area Acura dealers and the 2019 Acura MDX. Test drive the best-selling third-row luxury SUV of all time at your local D.C. area Acura dealer. Find the closest one to you at dcacuradealers.com. D. Hall, what's up, bro?
What's going on?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing better than the Redskins right now. So
that's for sure.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Let me ask you
that
this.
Was ugly.
Before we get into the game, right? Because I mean, it's almost silly to talk about the game, but we can do that. I wanted to ask you about Dan because obviously we take calls, and first thing is everybody wants to get rid of Bruce. There's not a single guy in town that wants to keep Bruce. But that's been that way for a while. Dan's the one that makes this call. You've been sort of a legendary Redskin. I know you've had one-on-one time with Dan. He's an enigma to the rest of us, right? He doesn't make himself available to the media. You really only see him sort of out on the field talking to guys before a game, and you see him in his luxury box, and that's about it. What is Dan like when you have one-on-one conversations with him? I mean, is he a complete social moron? Is he normal? Is he a weirdo? Yeah. I envision this guy just played like Dungeons and Dragons as a kid or something. Like, give us some insight into Dan Snyder and what he's like.
I mean, just in my interactions with Dan, man, he's been just a great person, a very loyal person.
Is he normal? Always,
yeah, super normal. Super normal. I mean, it's intimidating to run up on any billionaire and to even think that Dan's a billionaire and that I've had a conversation with him, because I feel like I would be nervous if I was meeting a random billionaire who was a real estate mogul or a random
like a
billionaire
Buffett
who
or
was a I think I would be a little not shy, but
a little intimidated, maybe.
A little intimidated, without a doubt. Yeah, but like when I met Dan, like I never had that feeling. And the same thing with like a guy like Arthur Blank. For some reason, I feel like sports owners tend to be a little more relatable and down to earth than your just average Joe billionaire guy. But I mean, my relationship with Dan has been great. He's been a guy who I've been able to talk to when I've had problems or things come up.
Right.
He's a guy who's always kind of asked my opinion on certain things, whether it's the feel of the building or the feel of the locker room or the team or what we need to do to kind of get better. He's a guy who grew up a Redskins fan. He grew up not far from RFK Stadium, and to have an owner, that's really, really rare to have an owner who grew up in the community of the team that he was able to purchase. And so for Dan, like it's so personal trying to get this thing turned around. And I remember Dan kind of being a little hands on when I first got here.
Right.
And when I say hands on, it was just he was always around. He was he was very accessible. I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard stories kind of before I got there that you know, if a guy like CP, who was obviously very close with Dan, would get a fine from, you know, one of the coaches. Obviously, it was before kind of Shanahan and even, I guess, Zorn, because like I said, it was before I got there. But kind of heard stories that, you know, if a guy got a fine, they would take it in to Dan. CP's name was always the one thrown up. Like I said, I've never seen it happen, but I've heard stories that, you know, CP would kind of go to Dan, like Dan would be the guy who would, you know, kind of bridge the gap between the coach and the player. Kind of the same way Al Davis worked when I was in Oakland. If you had a problem with anybody in the front office or anybody on that coaching staff, all you had to do was go talk to Al Davis and he'd get it fixed out, you know, where he'd get it figured out. And so Dan's kind of gotten a bad rap. You know, I always tell people, man, Dan's one of the coolest down-to-earth people I know. But for the average person, you really don't get to see it. You know, you kind of hear the stories of,
no, nothing,
you know, trying to buy championships and things, yeah, like that. And I'm like, you know, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't have tried to throw money at the problem and, you know, and try to fix it? I know if I was in that situation as an owner, that damn show would be my approach initially. And you know, over the years, Dan has kind of figured it out. You know, he's kind of, you know, step back and giving control to other people and kind of, you know, let the process play out. And, you know, I think that's kind of what you have to do, is just kind of let the process work itself out.
I agree with that,
you know, Dean. I had fans. I don't mean to cut you off, JP.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that Bish?
No, it's Eric.
That's Eric.
It's TB, but that's fine.
My bad, EB. No, but I was going to say, you know, a lot of people always want to. I'm not gonna say single Dan out, but it's almost like you can't be damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Here's the thing with Dan. I actually agree with you. From afar, it certainly appears like he's pulled back and he's letting the other people that he's hired run the operation. At least that's what it seems like from afar. But those people haven't been successful. And specifically, let's point to Bruce. And I'm sure you have a good relationship with Bruce. I'm not going to ask you to denigrate him. But the guy's record speaks for itself. It's 9 years now, 58-82-1. Why the loyalty? Why is Bruce still here?
Because he's, at the end of the day, I think he's great at what he does. I mean, he's great at his job. I mean, his job isn't necessarily to pick, you know, the talent. Like, I don't really know the structure of the front office per se. You know, we've hired a lot of new guys this past season that obviously I'm not in the building, so I don't really know, right, what everyone's role is. But I mean, Bruce's role is the president over the whole thing. We have a guy who's in charge of college scouting. We have a guy who's in charge of pro personnel. And, you know, we have a lot of lieutenants who kind of fall underneath those guys, and they all kind of work in conjunction with Bruce and Dan. We don't have just one guy kind of pulling the strings, kind of like I'm not even going to say pulling the strings, but one guy who's kind of making all the personnel decisions.
Right, but like, Bruce, like, makes the, like, final call, D. Bruce makes the final call.
I don't know if that's 100% true. I know he gets the title of saying he makes the final call. But, you know, I haven't sat in a meeting and saw Bruce have a guy picked out, Jay have a guy picked out, the head of pro scouting have a guy picked out, and ultimately they go with Bruce's guy. Like, I haven't been in a meeting and seen that happen. I've been in a meeting where I've seen everyone talking and voicing their opinions and, you know, coming to a consensus. I haven't seen just one guy kind of overruling everybody and saying, all right, I got final say. This is what we're going to do, guys. Mm-hmm. All right, next. So I can't really comment on what I haven't seen. I know the way the structure is laid in place, it seems that way because Bruce is the president.
Right.
And then you have, you know, you don't have a GM actually in place. And I don't even know exactly what Doug's title is, but he has some power to say over there as well. So, you know, I joke with him all the time about I'm ready to be the GM, and so
and let me
I don't
ask
know
you this.
If I quite want that job yet. But
I was going to ask you if Bruce actually called you and said, "Hey, D'Angelo, we really want a former player to come in who was in the league just a couple of years ago. You know the league, especially defense. Can you help us kind of scout some of the possible free agents out there? Maybe not look at the college players. Let the college guys handle that, but." In terms of pro personnel, and if they wanted you to come help, would you do it? Or is that too much of a commitment?
Nah, I would do it, but just some things have to change. Like for me to entertain something like that, like I need some assurances that my voice would actually carry some weight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to just come in there and be a yes man.
Right.
I'm just not. I have a very different viewpoint on a lot of things, because some of these knuckleheads, some of these guys, you know, that you kind of don't know about. Like, I was one of those guys. You know what I mean? So, you know, who better to help guide young men, or even figure out if a dude is selling you a crock of crap, or if he's telling you the truth? You know what I mean? Like, I sat in those meetings as a 20-year-old rookie or potential draft pick, kind of telling coaches exactly what they wanted to hear. I knew how to play that game, and so. I can smell BS from a mile away, and, you know, just having the chance to, you know, when I was figuring out if I wanted to get in the front office or get in the TV, just having the chance to sit in on some of those combine meetings, like, I could easily tell who was very, very genuine and who had been coached up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Who's his agent? Oh, yeah, his agent recruited me. I can remember, boy, he had a whole team of guys who would walk you through the combine process and almost give you the perfect answer for every question. And you could feel that from some guys. Some people might not have been able to feel it as well as I could. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm just the world's greatest or the smartest guy in the world, but, you know, I'm a pretty young guy. I just came out of that locker room. I know how to relate to players. I know ultimately who can play and who can't play, who really is about football and who's about all the shiny, you know, glamorous things that football gives you. Because that's ultimately what you want. You want a locker room full of guys who love football, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
who want to do what it takes to win each and every game. And, you know, watching what we saw on the field yesterday, I don't feel like we had a lot of those guys out there.
It was an embarrassment. And you know, look, I don't know what you want to say about DJ, but, you know, the weekly tirade of criticizing the coaches from DJ swearing is just tired.
I didn't even hear any post-game comments. I was so kind of just turned off by what I saw. Because, you know, like I told people, I've been on the other end of some butt whippings too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, when we threw a visual up of like the Redskins' biggest deficits at halftime. Hell, my teams were on there twice, and I was telling somebody, like, man, I would love to see what those numbers look like at the end of the game, because I felt like at halftime, like we were going at each other to make sure we get this thing turned around and making sure guys didn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna say I felt like guys quit, but it just didn't feel like it was very important.
It looked like it. How about that? It looked like they quit.
Well, it looked like it wasn't important to them. It's hard to say a guy quits, because it's, you know, if you quit out there on that football field, you can seriously get hurt. But if things aren't important to you, if taking that extra step and diving, as opposed to, let me lay out right now just so I don't have to keep chasing this dude. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that can be corrected. And so you just got to get the right kind of guys in here, and the guys that want to win. You know, like I said, I didn't hear DJ's comment, but just knowing what he said in weeks past, it's a cry for help. It's a cry for, hey, look, God, this is what we need to do. And for him to, I don't know what he said, but if he's saying the same thing that he's been saying previous weeks, at some point either the staff is going to take notice, or the ownership and guys at the top down are going to take notice, and coaches are going to get asked these questions that, hey, why is DJ always coming out saying XYZ? And, you know, at the end of the day, those questions have to be answered by that staff and those people in that building, and they got to fix it. If a player feels like this is wrong, I mean, you see what happened with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he obviously had some, you know, didn't agree totally with what Coach McCarthy was doing, and that organization made a change. I don't know if it was the right change. I think Mike McCarthy was a hell of a coach. But they made a change. They felt like, hey, this is what needs to happen, and that's what they did.
Let me ask you quickly, if you were brought on as a consultant, all right, to help with the defense over the last 3 weeks, this defense was performing in the first 6 or 7 weeks. Now, they haven't had injuries. They've completely fallen off a cliff. If they brought you in for the last 3 weeks, to plug some holes and to simplify things or whatever, what would you do? What would you suggest?
I mean, without having watched every piece of film, you know what I mean? I've really just watched football games. I know talking to B. Mitch, he had kind of a philosophy where he thought the problem was up front, and he thought it was technique. Trevor thought it was just guys not really playing as well as they did, and just kind of slowing down. I don't have a take on it. I kind of feel like at the end of the day, like, you're gonna play some teams that's gonna get a lot of yards. You're gonna play some like every game I played, I tried to shut the guy down. It doesn't mean it happened every time I played a guy. You know what I mean? You ask fans, some fans say, "Oh, D. Hall was one of the best corners we've ever had." You ask some other fan, "Oh, D. Hall was one of the worst corners we've ever had." And so it's, you know, the numbers are the numbers. Obviously, they haven't done great, but I can't point out one particular problem and say, "Hey, this, you know, we aren't doing this. We aren't doing this right. We aren't doing this right." It's a group thing, man. Like, they got to tackle better. They got to get off of blocks. They got to play with that attitude that I felt like we saw early in the season. I almost feel like, you know, when you know your chances to win aren't great, you tend to not be as focused and as locked in. And when I say that, I mean knowing Mark Sanchez is your quarterback. You know how many guys in that locker room all week had to answer questions about the butt fumble? Mm-hmm. And then that's brought back into their, you know, their memory bank, and they're like, "Oh man, like, do we really have a chance with this dude at quarterback?"
But they were game out going in. They had ten games.
When you got everything to play for, and that's what I wanted to see how this team responded, because you have everything to play for, and let's see what happens. Like, I don't like those people at the end of the day that get mad or cry after losses, after they lose a championship game, they cry. And, you know, my son, yeah, example, crying after, you know, after loss, right, or so mad and ticked off. And I asked him, "Well, you know, don't point no fingers at nobody else. Did you do everything you could to win that game?" "Yeah." "No, oh, you did? Well, what about this play right here that you was loafing on? You were waiting for somebody else to make the tackle. And when you could have made the tackle." "Well, you're right. I guess I didn't." "Well, yeah, you can't point a finger at nobody else. You can't be mad unless you leave every ounce of what you got on that field." And, you know, to a man, I think people like me for the most part, because that's what I tried to do. And so it blows my mind, and it's unthinkable when I see a guy on the field who isn't giving that same effort, because everybody who's ever played, and even people who played in high school and haven't played in 15, 20 years, they would give damn near anything for one more play, one more opportunity to get on that field and run around and be with your brothers and just have fun and play a game they love, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, anything. And so for me to have it, you know, to not play now, and I don't miss it at all. At all do I miss it. But maybe that's because when I played, I never felt like I left anything for the next day or for tomorrow. I tried to leave everything on that field, and that's what I don't see. I don't feel like I see guys leaving it all on the field. I feel like they're waiting for the next get or the next play or the next play or the next game, or I want to save myself for the next, you know. Nah, it ain't about the next. It's about right now. Right. And until all those guys in that locker room worry about right now and the task at hand, it's going to continue to look like it looked yesterday, because, I mean, to me, that's unacceptable. Like you said, you got everything to play for, and we knew the offense was going to be pretty bad. But for the defense, like, no one expected 38, 34 points at halftime. Nobody expected Saquon, who you held to 38 yards in the first game, to have 170 yards rushing. No OBJ, so it almost was like, man, we could play zero on the back end and put everybody in here to stop the run,
right?
And we'd be okay. Like, you know, it was certain points where I saw, even scheme-wise, like, they were peeling on Saquon out the backfield. And, okay, I understand the inside backer has Saquon as a flare route, but why would you want Ryan Kerrigan, who gets paid to rush the passer, or Preston Smith, who gets paid to rush the passer as a run stopper, 270 pounds, both of those guys respectively, have them dudes running with Saquon Barkley trying to cover him out the backfield? Like, to me, I've never seen anyone peel – cover Saquon Barkley. Like, I'm going to take you out of the rush, and I'm going to let you peel and cover the running back because he's basically coming out right now. Like, no, I want my rushers rushing, cover guy, cover him. You know what I mean? Get to him. Mason, get to him. Or safety, you got him on this play. And to me, like, that's just my mindset. I'm not having guys do – I'm not putting guys in a position to do things that I don't think they can be successful to do.
Well, maybe that's what DJ was talking about, D, and we got to go, man.
D, we got to run. We're way up against a break.
But
okay, all right. I'm sorry, fellas.
It's all good. Thank you, man.
We'll talk to you next week, bro.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
All right, man. That's D Hall, everybody. Great
stuff. We're probably not going to be able to get to calls next hour, so if you have some guys who want to chime in right now, 800-636-1067, we have a few minutes.
Now's the time.
Now's the time to give us a call, and we'll talk some Skins when we come back. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Locked and loaded. Phones are lit. People want to talk about the Skins. 800-636-1067. Let's get right to it.
All right, here. Let me see. Trying to go in order. Daryl's been on hold for an hour and a half, 90 minutes. Daryl, you're a good man. Thanks, buddy.
What's up, y'all? It's all good. I love the show.
Thank you, man.
We've driven it home that it's time to move on from Bruce Allen. And I agree with you. I think that Allen really moved out the way. And try to, you know, not be the guy that he was in previous years. However, Bruce Allen, we know he kind of backstabbed Shanahan and said he wasn't responsible for the final say on the personnel. Now he has the opportunity. It didn't work out. I'll give you some names because I know you guys got to go. I'll give you some names. Let's look at Chris Richard as head coach, possibly, or even Gus Bradley from the coordinator of – and both of these guys are the Seattle guys. He's the coordinator of the Chargers. He was the head coach of the Jaguars. He was the one that started the Seattle. Yeah, he was the one that started Seattle off to their great one. He won the two Super Bowls as a coordinator. Also, let's take a look at another head coach, Josh Daniels, outside of that. And then your GMs,
McDaniels.
Either Keith Kyle Smith or let's look at Lewis Reddick. Manager, he's very passionate about the Redskins and about Sean Taylor. Maybe he'll breathe some life back into us. Get him online for a Q&A, too. That, like you did with D. Hall. Get him on, please. Do y'all best to get him online and just talk to him and see what his thoughts are because he was here.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Well, appreciate it.
No Gus problem. Bradley was a complete disaster at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that
the guy. I don't know if that's the guy you want.
I mean, sometimes the guys are a disaster the first go around.
And there's no chance Josh McDaniels is taking a job here.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, there's just
way. He didn't feel comfortable with who? With the guy in Indy, right?
Yeah, he was going to take the Colts job, and then he backed out.
Yeah.
And he was going to have a franchise quarterback there.
I think that is always going to be a little bit of a limiting factor here. Who's going to want to come here? It's not the once-storied franchise
correct
that it once was.
Especially if Bruce is here.
And I agree. I do think that Dan has backed off, at least from appearances' sake. But he still is responsible for the guys underneath him, right? So in that sense, you still can point the finger at him. But I think it's the other guys that are sort of in the building on a day-to-day basis that I'm more blaming than I am Dan at this point. To me, it's Bruce and everybody else.
But when things aren't going well, it's your company. You got to make changes. So if you just sit back and say, well, I hired these guys to do a good job, and they're not, that's on you to make the changes.
My guess is, knowing from his early history, he's probably wanted to fire this group many, many times and probably been talked out of it to kind of try to stay the course and see things. But it's reached a point now where we have to make a change.
I would love to know who's trying to talk him out of it.
I need to know his inner circle. I need to know more about those people. Because Dan doesn't let us in, so we don't know him. Let's go to Mike in D.C. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Junks, man? Listen, bro, I don't know what that was on Sunday, but that was not a professional football team that we saw, man. There was no way that was a professional football team. One team showed up, but that was a really good college team. Because I honestly feel like the Alabama Crimson Tide could beat the Redskins right now. No question about it. I'm just saying right now, we as fans have been seeing the same weak product produced and pushed out there every year for the past 6 to 7 years. Enough is enough. The bottom line is you need a coach that's going to take these prima donnas. I mean, take them somewhere hot. Take them in the desert. Make these Bamas run 2 days. Do whatever you got to do. You work 17 days out of a year. 17 days. You give me everything you got for them 17 days. That's all we're asking for. You're charging us $100-some a ticket. Parking is outrageous. One of the highest ticket prices in the league. It's ridiculous what they put out there in front of the fans. And they expect us to watch that? It's unwatchable, man. It's ridiculous.
Very hard to
is
watch.
What it is.
Well, the fans are the ones that have to speak up. Because if the fans keep going to games, you know, things may change.
They are speaking up. They're not going to the games.
It didn't look like it yesterday.
The attendance
that's going to happen every single
dwindling,
week.
Dwindling, and it happens every year.
Yeah.
But it never even started out good this year. It's been pretty mediocre all year, and it's getting worse, and this is what always happens. This is what always happens. Let's go to John, unless they stumble onto a winning year. John, what's up?
John.
All right, let's go to Jeff in Arlington. Oh. Jeff, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Season ticket holder. I've been going to FedEx since 97, since Snyder took over, or whenever he took over. The stadium's a joke. I mean, it's got to the point where it's halfway full. It's not even been full on any games, even during the 6-3 run earlier in the season. To the last caller's point, we bought upper-level tickets for some friends yesterday to come for $11. $11.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is to fill that stadium up. Yeah. The report came out last week that Snyder and Trump are talking to move the stadium back to FedEx or back to RFK. That would be the best saving grace Snyder could do at this point, because I don't see that stadium ever being full for a very long time.
Yeah.
I agree with everything D'Angelo Hall said. I think that man needs to come on and be a defensive consultant, because he is spot on. You have 270-pound linebackers covering one of the best running backs in the league.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Let's try to bang out one or two more real quick here for the top of the hour. Gene, what's up, buddy? Quickly.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just say this. Bruce Allen got to go. The coach has got to go. He's too soft. He's a player's friend. He is not a coach. If these players tried to get away with this with the New England coach, they'd be out the door quick. They're none of them disciplined. You play the way you practice, and that's what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for letting me get in.
Thank you, Gene.
That's a good point.
And we have read about it all week. They're having trouble, like, staying on sides in practice. They're having trouble with the cadence. 15 penalties, 135 yards, just absolutely devastating beyond the mistakes they were making on the field. Just self-induced penalties. It's got to get better. All right, let's continue with these calls. I know we were going to do something else, but let's just bang out these calls. People want to chime in. The frustration level is at one of those all-time lows, or season lows anyway, because it seems like we get here every year. 800-636-1067. We'll bang out your calls. And then at 920, I believe we have our guy, Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, is going to join us at 920. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.